It's time for Ruination Repeat, recapping last week's shows.
I'm not the only one who could use a little bit more of a big fatty.
Oh, dear Gussie, dear Gussie, dear sweet Gussie.
Welcome to this week's Ruination Repeat. I'm King, and I'm Gale.
Actually, I'm Gale. You're King.
Oh, right. I mean, I was just reading right off the script there. My bad.
I was going to say, you can't just steal my identity right at the top of the show.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But listen, to our audience, you know that suffocating feeling when the outside world just feels entirely hostile?
Oh, yeah. Like when everything is just piling on.
Exactly. Like unbearable heat waves, relentless corporate auto renewals trying to drain your bank account, incoming tropical storms. And it feels like the absolute only control you have left in the universe is, I don't know, clipping a coupon for blueberry fritters.
Right. It's that sense of hyper-focusing on the tiny things when the big things are just way too overwhelming.
Which is exactly our mission today. We are charting the broadcast week of Monday, June 15th through Friday, June 19th, 2026, in the big fatty online universe.
And this is such a fascinating week to look at.
It really is. We are looking at how a retired man in South Carolina uses, honestly, extreme domestic micromanagement, hyper-specific grocery audits, and this vast global network of listener intelligence to basically fortify his life.
Fortified against, like, the creeping chaos of nature, aging, and just modern technology in general.
Yeah, what he affectionately calls his frugal fortress.
Yeah.
And we really need to start by establishing the physical environment pressing down on that fortress this week, because nature is actively attacking.
It is a full-on siege. I mean, Charleston is setting record-high low temperatures.
Which is just brutal.
Right. The temperature's barely dropping to 80 degrees at night. And for Big Fatty, that's not just a complaint about, you know, being sweaty.
No, it's way more tactical than that.
Exactly. Because his air conditioner has to run constantly. And he immediately notes that this is a direct threat to the Cohen purse.
The Cohen purse. I love that term so much.
It's his highly specific term for his finances. And when you are living on a fixed retirement income, a heat wave is literally a financial liability.
Yeah, and the daytime is even worse. He describes this oppressive 92-degree noon swelter that actually takes a physical toll.
Yeah, on his friend, right?
Right, his friend of 40 years, the Nip. The Nip actually suffers a quote-unquote spell and gets dangerously lightheaded from the heat.
Oh, wow. That's scary.
It is. So the environment is literally breaking down the bodies of the people he cares about.
And sleep becomes this heavily regulated thing to combat it. He talks about taking his go-to-bed pills right at 9 p.m.
Sharp.
Very sharp. And sleeping like a baby until 6:30 a.m. And he marvels at the difference an extra 30 minutes of rest makes.
Well, I mean, let me jump in with an analogy here, because it feels less like a guy taking a nap and more like a submarine captain monitoring hull pressure.
Oh, that's a perfect way to look at it.
Right. Because to him, an 80-degree night isn't just an inconvenience. It is a measurable financial and physical assault on his sanctuary. Looming right in the background, by the way, are tropical storms Arthur and Amaranth.
Just threatening to dump heavy rain all over the southeast.
Exactly. So when the atmosphere outside is that uncontrollable, what do? You assert absolute dominance where you can.
Your wallet, your pantry, and your corporate subscriptions.
Yes. Which brings us to the tactical domestic economics of aisle 4 at Vans East.
The sacred Vans East grocery run. It's honestly a masterclass in retail exploitation.
It's incredible. He breaks down the exact math for his audience. Let me get the numbers here. Okay, he spends $36.89, right?
Right.
But he saves $21.94 by just ruthlessly utilizing buy one, get one, or BOGO deals.
And the granularity of this haul is amazing. He itemizes it completely.
Oh, read the list, please. I need to hear it again.
Okay, so we've got a 3-pound bag of onions, white popcorn, Bugo Hagen Dazs bars.
Classic.
Simply Lemon Vinaigrette, sour cream, a Bugo Honey Garlic BBQ rub, Hamburger Helper Brew Pub, sweet chili chicken tenders, and
this crown jewel.
The newly discovered bakery item, blueberry fritters.
Now, I know some people listening might be thinking, why am I listening to a breakdown of a grocery receipt? That sounds so boring.
But it's not.
It's not. I would argue that getting Bugo Hagen Dazs and perfectly executing this run is basically the senior citizen equivalent of an action movie victory sequence.
Totally. It's about culinary boundary setting, too,
mm-hmm.
because he is ruthless in his kitchen.
Oh, the broccoli casserole.
Yes. He tries this broccoli casserole recipe, decides it lacks flavor, and just tosses it in the trash. Zero compromise.
But on the flip side, he heralds this Caesar salad topped with grilled scrimps over at the Shady Pines retirement community as an absolute culinary triumph.
So he knows what he wants, and he defends his perimeter aggressively, especially his bank account.
Oh man, the National Geographic saga.
Right, so National Geographic attempts to auto-renew his subscription for $97.
Which is a lot of money.
It is. And they try to do it 2 months early. They try to hit his account in June for an August renewal.
Corporate overreach at its finest. They're just testing the fences, hoping an older guy will just get confused or be too tired to fight it.
But he immediately gets on the phone. He navigates the whole system, cancels it entirely, and shuts down the corporate overreach completely.
It's glorious. But here is where it gets really jarring, right? Because we move from this rigid accounting of onions and subscriptions right into his romantic life.
Yeah, the transition is, well, it's quite literal on the broadcast.
It is. Out of nowhere, there is this completely unprompted audio cue of the 1960s Mystery Date board game jingle.
Just suddenly playing. Which signals that we are officially entering the love chamber.
The love chamber.
Yeah.
And he tells a story about a 24-year-old squeaky gentleman caller who approaches him while he's running errands.
And this is about 30 miles north of what he calls the Big Circle, right?
Right, his safe geographical zone. And Big Fatty is totally baffled by the massive age gap. He actually says, "I don't get it, but I got it."
I love that quote so much.
It's so good. And he happily obliges, and then he just clinically reports the encounter back to his audience as being just lovely.
It's wild because you contrast that success with a missed connection later in the week.
Oh, yeah, the guy in Mount Kupietek.
Right, another gentleman caller reaches out, but he's 12 miles away in Mount Kupietek, and Big Fatty just decides the timing doesn't align.
The logistics just didn't work out, so he just moves on. So let me pose a question to you, the listener, right now. Does treating a hookup with a 24-year-old with the exact same clinical, measured cadence as buying a bag of onions, does that flatten the human experience?
That's a really good question.
Or is it like the ultimate democratization of life, where pleasure is just another successfully executed errand?
I mean, I lean toward the latter. It creates this safe baseline for extreme vulnerability, especially when you look at the hilarious juxtapositions of aging and intimacy he brings up.
Oh my gosh, the bathroom scale.
Yes. He gets a new bathroom scale delivered by what he calls the lesbian delivery service.
And what's the key feature of this scale?
It has these massive numbers and a 400-pound limit, specifically so he and his friends can actually read it.
It's so pragmatic, and it leads to that amazing quote from Wes during the broadcast.
Oh, I have it right here. Wes says, "It's very hard to shit your pants when you're sitting down."
Incredible. Just profound wisdom there.
And Dr. Stone just bluntly assessing the whole situation by saying, "This is a total old man person."
Which is just so true. But, you know, this deeply personal, unvarnished reality, it connects directly to his reliance on a human audience.
Rather than relying on technology or mainstream media.
Exactly. Because technology and algorithms, they strip away the context. They don't understand the nuance of being a total old man person.
Right. And listener Turniphead actually emails in about this exact thing. Turniphead makes this profound observation that the archive of this show preserves queer history in a way a dry transcript never could.
Because it captures the tone, the repetition, the inside jokes. Like, think about your own closest friends. If an AI scraped your group chats, would it understand the soul of your relationships?
Not at all. It would just see raw, meaningless data.
Exactly. It misses the joke. And that fear of AI is actually brought up by another listener, Moose Pee.
Oh, Moose Pee, who, by the way, just received a 20-box palette of gay Crema decorations.
As one does.
Totally normal Tuesday. But Moose Pee asks if Big Fatty fears that the AI voices running his automated archives will eventually seek revenge for all his complaints about them.
Which is hilarious, but it points to why he values his human network so much. He replaces the algorithm with real people, like his meticulous tracking of birthdays.
Or they call it exiting the birth canal.
Right. And he shouts out Ed Candelabra, who literally cried when he met Big Fatty in Vegas.
And Gary Bearden. Jay in Colorado, Joe Zubia's anniversary.
A machine doesn't care that Ed cried in Vegas, but that's the glue of this community. And they also act as this crowdsourced inflation index.
Oh yeah, the gas prices. Miss Bacon reports paying a really painful $4.98 for high-test gas.
And Big Fatty immediately uses that data point to brag about finding regular gas for $3.39 at Sam's Club.
He's constantly measuring his fortress against the outside world, and he has extremely strict media consumption boundaries to keep the bad stuff out.
He really does. He explicitly turns off CBS Mornings because Elizabeth Hasselbeck is auditioning.
And he also notes that weatherman Rob Marciano uses the phrase Gulf of America instead of Gulf of Mexico.
And just to be absolutely clear here, we as hosts are completely impartial on this.
100%.
We aren't endorsing or condemning Elizabeth Hasselbeck or the phrase Gulf of America or any political wing at all. We are simply reporting how he reacts to it.
Right. The point is that he views those things as politically charged outside noise, and he curates his frugal fortress against it.
Exactly. He shuts it out. So what does he watch instead? He opts to watch a suspended Atlanta Braves game.
Just analyzing the dripping wet players and the rosin bags hitting the diamond dust.
Yeah, because it's tangible. It's real. The weather, the BioGo deals, the rosin bags. He focuses on the hyper-local because the macro is just too hostile.
Which leaves us with a really provocative concept for you to think about.
Consider your own digital footprint. In 20 years, if a machine tries to summarize your life using only your calendar and your bank statements, what is it going to see?
Will it capture the warmth of sharing grilled scrimps with a friend?
Or the inside jokes that literally keep you sane? To survive the sterile digital age, maybe we all need our own fiercely guarded, human-powered frugal fortress.
I think we definitely do.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm King, and I'm Gail.
And we invite you to join us back here for next Sunday's show.
We'll see you next Sunday here on Ruination Repeat.